The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmel, Yurko, Wild Ol', and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wild Ol' and Sylvie, Carmel and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmel likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up, all four of us together?
Yeah, what the fuck is up with you? Good to see you.
It is good to be back. We didn't miss an unhinged. We did an unhinged last week, so even with the vacation time.
Yeah, we did one.
A little staycation. We did one last week, and we're doing one today.
Still good to see you. You want me to say, hey, you know what? Fuck off. It's horrible that you're back in the office.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. Go let your kid hump some more baseball executives, will you?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw that.
I mean, he was in. If you missed it, I posted the pictures on Instagram.
I saw.
And Theo was having dinner with Pat Ryan.
Mm.
And I was thinking, hey, I even said to Theo, I said when he came
thinking
over.
About buying the Bears?
Theo? I said,
that's a power couple.
I go, wow. I go, are you going to, was this about buying the Bears? And he said, he goes, no, I wish.
Yeah.
He said, I guess he's friends with Pat Ryan Jr. or Pat, one of Pat Ryan's sons. And his son was there.
Okay.
So it was like a table of three. And then he came over and he's met Mason before and he's held Mason twice. Mason goes up to him and he yells Boo Cubs right away.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Against his will, I would think at one point, like when you just walked up to Theo the first time in Arizona and just handed him and said, hey,
for sure.
Theo, hold my son. I want to take a picture.
I didn't know Theo at all. I barely knew Theo. Here's my 2-year-old kid. It's 2015. Yeah. But then they got to the playoffs. So then it became, baseball guys are superstitious.
Good luck charm.
So I used to tell them, hey, you guys went to the NLCS last year, you held Mason. And then Jed held them in 16, both kids, and they won it all. So then it became kind of a thing. But Braxy was humping him.
Yeah,
like,
I saw it.
And the pictures, and that was what was going on behind the scenes, too.
Well, as I said to you in a text, Theo broke baseball. He ruined baseball. The least he can do is let one of your kids hang on him like a jungle gym.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hump his leg a little bit.
That's the least he can do, right? Just be an accommodative guy.
Does he care if Mason says Boo Cubs?
I don't think he does.
What is he fucking
He said, though, right to them, the first thing is, are you guys Cubs fans?
Yeah.
But, his kids are 14. He's got a 14-year-old son and a 7-year-old son.
Mm.
So he's been in this. Yeah. He's been in that.
What do you think his kids are?
The Jungle Gym stage.
Do you think they're Cub fans or are they Red Sox fans? I wonder. Theo's a Red Sox fan, right?
Oh, my God. Diehard, right?
I think your kids at that age, as they're going along, they're fans of whatever team you're a part of.
You think so?
So they were probably Red Sox fans if they were too young to even be, but I'm sure they were Cub fans.
They're probably too young for that. Maybe they're Cub fans then.
Yeah, I'm sure.
His lineage is Red Sox. I mean, he was a diehard fan growing up. He ran them for how many years? He won them 2 World Series.
The kid had, like, behind both kids, more the older one. Had behind-the-scenes access for a decade of one of the greatest turnarounds in sports history.
Right.
That's true. And he grew up here.
Yeah, that's true.
Since he was 4.
If I'm Theo, I'm telling my kids, you cheer for whatever team is paying me $10 million a year.
Right.
Some league's going to pay him at some
MLB,
point.
MLB, right. Yeah.
MLB might be paying him.
So.
He should be the commissioner.
It was fun. It was fun to see him. We talked a lot of, no baseball stuff.
No.
The only thing I told him.
Oh, God.
Did you tell him about Tony La Russa doing what he did?
Did you bring it up?
I did.
What did
he didn't
say?
Know about it either.
He didn't? Was he shocked?
He's shocked.
Well, no shit.
Well, who wasn't shocked?
Could not believe it. I had to explain it to him a second time.
No fucking shit.
And then what Muncy was saying. It was Max Muncy as he was crossing the plate.
Yes.
I would ask you guys, what was the bigger I know what the bigger transgression was with regard to how the game was impacted. But what's the bigger sin? Is it the fact that he decided to do that, or was it the rambling explanation for his moves afterwards?
What you just said.
Like, that is more of an indictment than the decision itself.
His explanation afterwards and the way he went on the offensive tells you all you need to know about what he really thinks about it and how wrong the decision was.
He was confused even in the explanation when he was talking about it.
Let me ask you guys something.
Did he follow the analytics?
Did he? No. Did he think?
He didn't follow shit.
Does he know? The way he explained it afterwards, that he talked about Max Muncy in 1-2 counts. Did he think the 1-2 count transferred to the next batter?
Exactly, Carm.
He's so fucking lost. It's unbelievable.
Carm, there's nobody in baseball that's got a good slash line with two strikes.
Of course not.
Panetti's reaction
is unbelievable.
And remember, those guys are paid by the team.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And Stoney, there's that pause.
Yeah.
I was at the game, so I heard this last night. The pause where Stoney usually will defend.
He almost tried to, too.
Well, you could tell.
He did.
Benetti's like,
but he was stunned.
What's going on here with two? Okay, and I think he gave Stoney a blank slate and goes, can you explain this for me?
I think Stoney tried to.
But there was a long pause.
Well, you don't want Turner to do any more damage. That's what Stoney. But even Stoney, Sylvie's right. There was a pause. He couldn't.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It really is.
Think about this. Think about this.
And then again, the defiance and to go after Scott Merkin afterwards with some sort of cockamamie numbers that you've got in your back pocket that make absolutely no fucking sense
whatsoever. Well, here's your numbers.
Is unbelievable.
First of all, no major league hitter has a good slash line with two strikes.
No.
Your second number is if you're going to leave the lefty in. And by the way, it ain't Randy Johnson dealing to Max Muncy. It just isn't. But if you look at Max Muncy's splits, he's actually, if you take small sample size from this year out because he's been hurt, over the last three years, he's been very good to even better against lefties than righties.
And Souza's small sample would lead you to believe that he's more of a reverse split guy.
His explanation that he was talking about using relievers in the fifth inning and what you don't want to do. Like, that is so passe and old schoolish.
It's preposterous.
It's crazy.
Remember, he gave up on a game earlier, though, when they were falling behind. So I'm sure.
Yes, he did.
You know, like, I've always said this is going to burn them. And if you think it burns them in June in a big game against the Dodgers, imagine if they have to play one of these really good teams in October if they get there. And what under the microscope and the shit that's going to come up, it was always my fear. And it happened in the 2011 World Series with the Cardinals where he fucked up the bullpen. That was always what I cited, that he was getting older then and he was making weird decisions. I don't know if anyone's brought this up. This was the first thing that came to my mind is he thought it was okay to pitch to Buxton.
Yeah.
A month and a half ago.
But he's going to.
Byron Buxton hit a fucking home run in the previous at bat. And it's a close game late.
Good point.
And he said, I'm fucking pitching to him. I look at the guy behind him. Byron fucking Buxton.
The guy behind him, by the way, is Luis Arraez.
Trey Turner, good player. Really good player.
He's fine.
He's got a 1-2 count. And he puts him on base.
Yeah. No, it's preposterous. Again,
I'm going to pitch to Buxton. But I'm not going to pitch on a 1-2 count to Turner.
Listen, I mean, you don't want to lean on his age and whether or not. But the truth of the matter is you can't ignore it when you make these decisions that don't make any sense. And then you give a rambling explanation for what you did afterwards.
Did he think it was 2-1?
The count?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
He said the wild pitch caused him to do it in the open first base.
No, I know. But I'm saying, did he think it was 2-1?
That's a good question. I can't answer for him. But he was defiant about the 1-2 count.
But again, I think he was defiant afterwards because he was trying to explain it away. He's not going to walk to the podium and say, I thought it was a 2-1 count. So I think he got some numbers together real quick, went after Scott Merkin for asking a legitimate question. There's nobody in baseball that's been able to come out. Nobody. And say, no, actually, this was the right move.
Carm, it's because nobody in baseball in the last 40 years, as long as they've been tracking this, has ever intentionally passed anyone with a 1-2 count.
I've seen different stats on that because Jacob Nitzberg sent me something different. I don't know if it's of like very specific scenarios. There were two instances last year, but two out of how many pitches that were thrown, the 10,000 pitches that were thrown in baseball. There were two instances last year, one with Corey Seager and one with Mike Trout.
Where they did intentionally walk them with a 1-2 count?
On a similar thing where a base was open after a wild pitch. But I also saw, like Ben Clemens wrote a great piece on Fangraphs. He cited 2004, so I'm not sure. There could be something in the details about very specific. I don't know. I'm hearing 40 years. I'm hearing 2004. Jacob Nitzberg and ESPN Stats and Info said there were two occasions last year. But whatever it is, regardless, it doesn't matter. It was nonsense. I'm wondering if he had the count mixed up. And he quickly went on that defiant rant. Not a rant, but like his
what's
defiance
worse?
Afterwards.
You asked the question about the defiant rant, and you guys think that's worse. What's worse, making a boneheaded decision at 1-2 or not knowing what the count is?
Here's what would be bad about mixing up the count, Sylvie. I'm afraid that no one in the dugout
right,
will
true.
Say anything to
yes.
him. And like, if did somebody say, wait a minute, and like...
Like, does Ethan like, Katz stand up and say,
right,
Tony?
Like, wait, Tony.
Obviously
like,
nobody
did
said
anybody
anything
say,
that-
wait, Tony, it's 1-2. We got 2 strikes with 2 outs. Are we going to intentionally walk a guy? Like, that's what scares me, too, that there are no checks and balances happening in that dugout. I do wonder if he forgot the count, or if he mixed up the count, I should say, if he thought it was 2-1. It would make more sense. If it's 2-1, I could see Tony being like, fuck, okay, fuck this. Muncy's been awful, and he just came back, and we got left on left. You can, like, kind of see it. So I do wonder if he just flat mixed it up. And it is bad, Sylvie. You're right. I mean, there's no getting around it. It's bad that the manager would mix up the count.
Okay. Ethan, you're telling me that the balls go first in the count?
I mean,
the strikes are the first number up there.
I don't know. Who knows? It was so bizarre. It's everything about this has been bizarre. They're not a good baseball team right now, which is tough. That's the other part of this.
And they're not firing him.
No, there's no chance.
Jerry's not letting
there's
him
a
go.
0.0%
Jerry hired him and Jerry's not firing him.
0.0% chance yeah. that he gets fired.
What was the...
I think a lot of other managers at this point would have.
What do you think Rick Hahn's thinking?
I think he's thinking...
As they asked him the other day before when he met the media, like, there are a lot of things that are frustrating for him.
I think Rick is a... I won't pretend that I know Rick all that well, but I do know Rick. I don't think he wants to admit that anymore for whatever reason, but okay.
You and I talked about
I've known Rick for a long time, actually. I think he's very loyal. I think he's also incredibly bright. I think Rick's got to be thinking, fuck me.
Yeah.
And he's got a job that there's 32 of them,
excuse me.
There's 30 of them.
He's not walking away. For anyone that says,
right.
you know.
I think he probably contemplates it. If I were in Rick's position, I've thought about this. I guarantee you I'd have been contemplating it the last couple of years. And he's so bright and he's so smart, he might just want to bank on himself. Like, somebody will hire Rick.
I wanted
the Cubs to hire
him.
And he can work his way back up.
When Theo left, I don't know about Jed. I don't know about Jed running a team. I know that Rick Hahn built a really good young baseball team.
Yeah. If you brought Rick in, though, you'd ask him a series of questions, including, you know, how much input did you have on how much money was spent this offseason?
Right.
Was it you that thought Josh Harrison was the right decision to bring in? Why didn't you add a left-handed bat out, in the outfield? Like, you would...
Schwarber's got 15 home runs.
Yeah,
boys.
I mean, you would have 15. To get the honest answers to those questions, and maybe a red flag goes up if he was on board with all those decisions, but you would at least have to ask those questions.
I think he's got to be thinking, I can't believe this is happening. And we built this, and we think we got a pretty good team. And there are two things I think he might be thinking, I can't believe this is happening. The manager... And then whatever's going on with this training staff, they need Herm Schneider back badly.
2 years in a row with different training staff.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't explain that. That's much harder to explain. But there's a problem. I mean, there is.
I hear sadness in Carm's White Sox voice
today. It's depressing. I'm not even angry. It's funny. It's like the anger, I think, in a lot of ways is... I don't know, boys. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I think the anger existed when Tony was initially announced, and in year one of his tenure, you saw some things that made you say, I told you so. At this point, you realize there's no change coming.
It's more disappointment now, I think, than anything. The White Sox make it hard to cheer for them, too. I've said that for a long time. They just do. Jerry makes it hard, unnecessarily hard, I think, and just the way he views things, the way he views business and his fiduciary responsibility, I guess, to his other partners and shareholders in that team, but I don't think the fan is first. I just think he makes it hard and the proof's in the pudding. There's no sustained success to speak of, guys. None. I've been a fan of this team for quite some time, for a lot of my entire adult life, my mid-teens to I'm now 45 years old. you know, going back to the late 80s, early 90s, I've been a passionate supporter of this team. There's no sustained success to speak of. Zero. And it just makes it really hard to
cheer for them.
You look
at the team that's in town. The Dodgers have been to the postseason nine straight years.
I don't know if you guys were there for this, but the disappointment comes from, and I can hear it in his voice because I heard it then. The disappointment comes from the first report that came out. The first report that came out that said Tony La Russa was a viable candidate for the White Sox coaching job, managerial job. I remember the day we were working together.
I thought it was crazy, right?
You're like, this can't came be. Out.
It was what's his name from the USA Today.
Right, yeah. Whoever it was.
And we're like, Nightingale's lost it.
That's
we're
right.
We're like, Nightingale, you can't trust him to begin with.
I remember the disbelief. I remember the no way in the world. How in the hell could they even think of this? Blah, blah, blah. All of it. The same what you're hearing right now in the disappointment with what happened yesterday is what was happening that day. And then now the realization here a couple of years later that I was right. Shit, I was right.
Yeah, well,
day.
We all were right.
I was right. Well, I wasn't right. I didn't give a rat's ass.
Well, I know. But you knew, Yurko. You knew it was a bad idea.
But the hope doesn't exist.
There's like no way in hell. The guy hasn't been in baseball. He's been retired. Why are you going to bring the guy back? So
well, and the realization that there is no potential change.
He's not going to. Fucked.
Yeah.
Carmen is like, there's nothing I can do or say.
Nothing. And that's why, Sylvia always used to say with the Bulls, right? When you talk about how things are run. And starting at the top. And, it's not all Tony. Jerry had to hire Tony. It's just it's Jerry's way of running this team, running the club, the way he does business. It's you can see it. Again, the proof is there. 30 years worth of it, 40 years worth of it.
They've never built anything.
They've never built a single fucking thing. They caught lightning in a bottle in 05 with some really good pitchers.
Four guys threw complete games.
You know, and Jermaine Dye, somehow magically gave you a year that was fantastic and replaced Maglio. I mean, figure. It was awesome.
We were saying off the air about this. They replaced Maglio with Jermaine Dye.
And it was great.
And they replaced Carlos Lee with Scott Pesednik. Those are not on paper good building things.
Now, it fired, and you got that.
And it fired for 1 year.
And thank God, but you've never built anything.
Carl Everett.
Ever. And now when you finally did appear to put a collection of talent together, it's going sideways because of your manager and, again, your training staff. And I know that's a much harder thing to kind of wrap your brain around. How do we fix it and what are we doing wrong? But it's a problem, guys. There's no way around it.
Lean over there and hug him and give him a little reach around. Give him a little reach around as well. Give him a little reach around.
You know, listen.
Give him a little White Sox handy.
Give him the old
Give him a little White Sox handy over there.
You want me to pull Braxton? You want me to back up into you?
The old Cesar Asturias? No, I don't need that. I'm good. There are other things in life. I love the White Sox. I hope it works out. I do.
I finally got the green light. But
yeah, you can go. Right, so.
I've been waiting 20 years for this.
20 years. But yeah, it's
something
it's,
tells me if you would have asked sooner, you would have gotten the green light.
Sure,
sooner.
Why not?
Yeah.
Go ahead, fire away.
Wait, Waddle, because I know people come to us for sports when we're on the air, and they come to this for some funny stories. Are you willing to disclose what you were dealing with off the air before we got here?
Of course. I had the same problem.
Carmen didn't know about this. This is great.
I had the same problem every 18 months. There's a toilet or there's a passage from one toilet to the next that always gets clogged because my daughters constantly put tampons into the toilet and flush them. And the toilet and the piping system is not built.
The septic system's not built?
It's not a septic. It's public sewer. Can't do it in
Toilet is not made to take tampons.
I thought they were
Carmen, if you have septic, you got to blow the whole fucking thing up.
Is that right?
You're
ask
fortunate.
Ask the wife what she does. She'll wrap it and put it in the garbage. That's
because, listen.
You never knew this?
No.
Listen, what ends up happening, they're built to absorb. So when you put them into a water-filled system,
they blow up. So it's like clogging arteries, kind of? If you're eating 5 pounds of bacon every day?
Exactly. What they're doing is they're doing the anti-stent process. Instead of opening up the arteries, they're cutting, they're closing them down.
Right.
They're clogging. So, I know what it is, and my wife and my daughters, we don't do that. So, it's not that.
Nobody's
It's something else.
Somebody mysteriously snuck in here, didn't steal a thing, but went and used the toilet so they could go ahead and shove a tampon.
Right. So there's a toilet on the first floor.
That's what happened.
that's next to like a dog shower. So what ends up happening is they're kind of connected. If one gets clogged, then stuff start coming up the dog shower drain.
And on the guy's side, don't put use prophylactics down the toilet either.
No. And this is your tip of the day.
No, I'm just letting you know.
Those aren't. I don't know if I told you guys this as well.
Father was a plumber.
Yeah.
And it's the first thing he tells everybody.
Don't throw your rubbers in there.
When they stuffed it up with the tampon the first time, the old Polish guy, there was not a lot of sympathy. There's not a lot. Back in the day, you could deal with a heavy hand.
Yes. Yeah. Well, here's the point. Here's the point.
Back in the day, you could deal with a heavy hand.
You don't know what that means?
I know what it means, but I mean, like,
first of all,
something tells me he never dealt with it with a heavy hand.
They never did it again.
My guy Dominic, my plumber, rooted it all out and said, here, you know what? I'll show you what the problem is.
Oh,
and, you know, you extract it, and he shows you. Stop. Here's the other part of the story to kind of build on what Johnny said.
I don't want to hear it.
Going back to Foxy's house.
Oh, God.
Okay, we lost an ejector pump in that house early on.
Yeah.
What is an ejector pump?
You know why? Your ejector pump is what takes all of your sewage out of the house. The sump pump takes all the water that's around the base.
That's the sump.
Sends it out.
And the ejector pump
is responsible for getting everything out. Well, we lost an ejector pump. And my guy Dominic goes in and does that. This had to be like, I've been in this new house for 6-7 years. So this had to be 8-9 years ago. And when he took the pump out, there was two condoms that had gotten into that. Yes.
Were they yours?
Tommy wasn't using condoms.
No. I mean, listen, my kids were having parties. To think about what was going on in the basement of that house.
Oh, yeah.
You know what happened? They get thrown into the toilets. They get caught in the system. And next thing you know, boom, I got a rubber fucking problem that's blowing my ejector pump out.
Is that what you were telling yourself, that it was a party? I mean, like, make you feel better?
No, but there were some epic parties down there where there was some commingling, some cohabitation.
A couple things could have happened.
Blame the outside.
The tennis pro could have been over.
Hosting orgies over there. What the hell?
They were going to do that in the basement. That had been upstairs. I'm not telling you my own children weren't involved.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I'm just
adults.
Saying.
They're 29, 26, 24.
It's convenient to blame it on the outsider.
Dude, no, I'm telling you, I don't know who was responsible for putting said rubbers into
crazy.
The toilet.
This is crazy.
Tommy La Russa.
I'm just telling you that.
On a 1-2
that was,
pitch.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
When your guys get to be certain age, tell them.
Oh, my God.
Say, look, if
tampons,
you want to fuck.
Tampons don't go into the toilet. Rubbers don't go into the toilet. Otherwise, you're asking for plumbing disaster.
Wrap toilet paper and throw them in the garbage.
Yes.
Use a lot of toilet paper. It's okay.
Yeah.
So what does Gio and Aviana learn, and what does Buck and Bronco learn, Mason and Braxton? What do we say? Look, you can fuck. You can be safe. Really? You should be safe and use a condom. Just don't flush it down the toilet.
Don't flush any of that shit. Whether it's a rubber, a tampon, any of that stuff. Throw it out.
The more you know.
Yeah. I'm still working on getting my kids to actually flush the toilet, by the way, at 10 a.m. I went downstairs the other night.
By the way, young kids, what the fuck?
The shit that comes out of them.
Young kids shit like grown-ass men.
Hell yeah.
And I get out, and I'm like,
Tyler.
What? How
Tyler's
is
laughing behind the window.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Wait till you wait, Tyler. I'm like, you guys are 10 and 8. We're not flushing the fucking toilet after we take a dump? Like, what is happening?
You should see the White Sox clubhouse toilets.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, was it me?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know it wasn't me. I know it wasn't your mother.
This week, they shit. They're so small. They shit at odd angles. So they're not like on the toilet seat like we are.
Yeah.
So Mason had a shit the other day where
it shredded the bowl.
He came in from an angle where it didn't go into the water. It went to the front part of the porcelain.
Raise your water level. What are you doing? The newer toilets don't.
They don't have the big water level. Like
you can add water.
It was standing up.
Oh, just take. I have a picture in my bathroom where I go ahead and add to the water. Otherwise, it's at the bottom of the bowl. I add it and give myself about 3-4 inches of depth.
Okay, so.
If you put too much in,
his nuts are under. His nuts are underwater, though. At that point,
it stood up like the Sears Tower.
It was like a soldier standing at detention.
It was on the porcelain, standing up. We flushed it, and he goes, Daddy, it won't go down. I go, how many times have you flushed it? Because I thought he was going to stuff it up.
Super flusher, or you got a twirly?
This is the main level, and it's not a super flusher. It's not a
very powerful. The worst part is
replace your commodes with super flushers.
If it's not in the bowl, it's in the porcelain. It's coming up. It's going to get all over your under part of your thighs, too.
We flushed it again. I thought I was going to be looking at a different problem where the water level was getting stuffed. All this was it was a super shed. And it was standing at attention up and down instead
on the porcelain.
And we flushed it again, and it still was
and the water
flush.
Just wasn't, yeah, taking it.
Water wasn't, so I had to go in with my hand.
You know that light
with a paper towel, and I had to knock it down.
Jeez. You know that light swirl that takes forever to go around the bowl? And
that doesn't do anything.
That light swirl doesn't do anything. That water's not moving fast, though.
It was from an 8-year-old kid that can't get.
A lot of bran in there, though. Those kids eat well, you know? That's going to sit there, probably suctioned at the bottom of it, too, you know? Once it plopped on there, it was stuck for a while.
It was stuck, yes. It was suction.
You needed manual manipulation.
That's what I did. Yeah. With toilet paper in hand.
Of course.
I was at Northwestern Hospital last week, and one of the doctors, who will remain nameless, told me.
Dr. Rosenpenis?
Dr. Rosenpenis.
And his wife was there, too. Told me that the Waddle.
Dr. Rosenvagina?
Post-prom.
Party.
Was insane.
There's no doubt.
The stories are still being spoken about years later. This was George's, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, wow, this is why all the rubbers are...
This is a decade ago.
Yeah, this is why the ejector pump doesn't work. My toilet upstairs has got a dump in the back of it. Somebody upper decked us.
That was it's Foxy. The stuff of legends.
Foxy upper decked you. That's it. We came to that conclusion long ago.
There was puke in one closet. There was diarrhea in the other closet.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, we've got to run to do our actual show real quick. What are you guys hard about?
Hey, Waddle. Thanks for the new ejector pump.
Hey, Waddle, I'm going to have some fun with you. I'm going to upper decker your bathroom.
You don't upper tank yourself, Carm. You do it to somebody
else. He came
over
to your house and did it.
That was his house.
At the Super Bowl party.
You heard us talk about Blue Chew for a long time. Real quick, Yurko, remember to use the code Unhinged, and you'll get a month's supply of Blue Chew for free. Don't be ashamed. You're a little bit older. You can't fuck like you used to, so get some Blue Chew. Be ready to rock and roll. Like Yurko says, be ready for action.
That's right.
Right? When it's time to go, be ready for action.
At all times.
BlueChew.com, promo code Unhinged, and you'll get a month's supply free. You just have to pay $5 shipping and handling. What are you hard about, Yurk?
I like that new live tour. I like it.
Oh, you like it? You're hard for that.
I love that. Yeah, it's got me all hard.
Okay.
It's got me all bothered.
Waddle, you hard about anything?
My heart about. I'm hard about just seeing you guys today.
Oh, that's good.
I got a boner about that.
I'm kind of hard that the Tampa Bay Lightning might go to a third consecutive Stanley Cup. That's like...
Loved the fisticuffs last night
after
the game.
Yeah, at the end it was awesome. Lafreniere and Stamkos going at it. You don't see that every day.
No, you don't.
Guys, three cups in a row potentially in this era? It's remarkable.
They're not getting past the Avs, are they?
Probably not. And look, they could still lose. Like, Shesterkin could stand on his head the next two games, and like the Rangers could still win. If they win tomorrow, they force a game seven in their building where they've been great. But, boy, they're on the verge. I mean, that'd be incredible, three straight cup runs at this point.
I've watched more hockey in the last 2 weeks than I watched all season.
Watched all Blackhawks run.
Oh, no, stop it.
That's true as well. Oh, no doubt.
God. He's telling us about all these great games and he's never seen such great games.
Come on.
And like some of the games that the Hawks won in overtime or two goals
like
in
the Anaheim
seconds.
Series.
No, I'm talking
Boston.
About there was an 8-minute stretch in Avs Oilers game, which was insane.
All right,
I'm hard over Great America. You saw the picture. I love it.
Yeah.
And we timed it perfectly where there were no lines. No wait. We rode the Eagle twice in a row without having to get off.
That's great.
Can we go again? Nobody waiting.
Wow.
Sure. And Viper three times in a row as a family.
Viper. You nailed it, dude. Good work. All right, boys. Thanks to Tyler for throwing this up. We'll see everybody next week. Have a good weekend. And why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy.